Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we love you. We thank you for teaching us, Lord. We ask you to teach us who we are and what you've given us to do, what authority you've given us over this earth, Lord. Help us to exercise our authority, Lord. If we don't, we're going to be scattered. That's what your word says. Lord, bless us today in prayer. Please bring to our remembrance the things that you want us to pray and exercise authority over the things you want us to exercise authority over. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start by encouraging your authority. So we can pray some things. We have a duty to do here. The deep state doesn't know what hit them, and they're still fighting, and they don't even know who's in charge here. Okay, I'm going to start out with something we just shared just recently, Psalm 82. God standeth in the congregation of God. He judgeth among the gods with a little g. How long will you judge unjustly and respect the persons of the wicked? Judge the poor and fatherless. That is, defend the weak and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk to and fro in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I would say that's happening. And then he said, I said, ye are gods, all of you sons of the Most High. All of you sons of the Most High. If we are sons of God, which Paul in Galatians says we are by faith, we are sons of God, then that means God lives in us, because his seed is what produced us. And his seed is God, the Word of God, right? Well, in John 10 and 34, Jesus gave us no choice how to interpret this. It's very clear. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? We just read it. I said, ye are gods. So if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, in other words, people, his sons, and the scriptures cannot be broken, meaning this is the facts, say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. And it is true today, if we do not the works of our Father, believe us not that we are, as what he said, gods. But a little g. Yes. Amen. So, if we have this authority in the earth, he rebukes us for not using it in Psalm 82 to rescue people who don't know what's going on. And don't have any choice, because they're really not, they don't understand that authority, which is most of Christianity too, by the way. They're totally in darkness concerning who we are and what we've been sent to do. And all the foundations are being shaken. And there is desperate need for prayer and faith now. Who is it that's going to take charge? Well, Psalm 149. Verse 5 says, let the saints exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand. That is, what is the two-edged sword? It's the word of God, right? To execute vengeance upon the nations, and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains. That includes the deep state elite, Satanists, who are exercising authority and sending out their voodoo against the government of these United States, the Senate and the House, and exercising their authority over their minds, and so on. He said to bind their kings with chains. That's what we've been ordered to do. And their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. And I believe that's the Red Sea, the judgment written. This honor have all of his saints. And by the way, I'm just going to read this little text about the Red Sea here. Psalm 106, verse 8. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths and through a wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries. This is the Red Sea that the Lord's been telling us about. And I believe it has to do with the voters, the red voters, as opposed to the blue voters. And the blue voters went down at the beginning, and we ain't seen the best part of this yet. You know, Pharaoh, you know, he kind of lost his authority there when they marched out of Egypt in that last 7 days before they went to the Red Sea. But he realized he lost ground, and he mustered his troops and went after them, to the disaster of Pharaoh and his army. Well, there ain't no doubt in my mind who Pharaoh is. It's Obama. You know, he talks to the mainstream media every day. He is behind the scenes constantly, him and Hitlery. And they want to bring God's people back under their authority. They lost. They backed off. They came forward again. And it appears to most people's eyes that they have won a great victory. But having cornered God's people at the Red Sea, but we know the rest of the story. The waters covered their adversaries. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. Yes, this is what we're called to do. Bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. That is, the very least of you out there, and the very least of us here. We have authority over the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. And if we don't exercise it, we will be in trouble. Amen. And, you know, in 10 and 19, Luke 10 and 19, we're told, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy." Over all the power of the enemy. "And nothing shall in any wise hurt you." So we should be bold. Nothing can hurt us. He's given us authority. And Jesus said just before this, the 70 returned, verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name." Well, by the way, the demons are the ones that rule this world through their human hosts. And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven." He lost his position as the prince of the powers of the air. And he said, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now we know who the enemy is, don't we? Absolutely. In chapter 11, verse 21, when the strong man fully armed guardeth his own courts, his goods are at peace. And when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Now we know that was Jesus. He bound the strong man. He gave us authority over him totally. And he says, go divide the spoils. Go plunder the devil's kingdom. And then he warns, he that is not with me is against me. If you're not with him and plundering the devil's kingdom, you're against him. And he that gathereth not with me, what gathereth what? The spoils. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. So if you're not fighting, taking your authority over the devil's kingdom, you're going to be running from him. Now, when Obama was in office, there was a lot of running. And when God sent Cyrus Trump, he turned this thing around. Well, but even before that, he turned it around because people called upon the name of the Lord and exercised their authority, and God sent Cyrus Trump to take out the king of Babylon. And he didn't know what hit him. Neither did his second in command even know what hit them. They were astounded. They just knew. They had it in the bag. They knew they were going to cheat. They knew they had everything pointed in their direction. And it didn't work out that way because God's people prayed and exercised authority. Who is it that runs this earth? Well, you're mistaken if you think it's the devil. You know, Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sing a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals. Notice the seals aren't even opened yet. That's the beginning of the tribulation, by the way. For thou wast slain and didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests. And they reign upon the earth. Pay no attention to the more inferior translations there. That's what it says. And they didn't want to write that, but that's the facts. They reign upon the earth. So we've been given these dominion over these governments, and we can exercise it through faith and through commands. We have learned from the Lord that he has given angels under our command to go forth and bring to pass the things that we command to be done. And he's been doing that. He's also got bodyguards and everything. Everything's already set up. We just got to go to work. He said, nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So I was thinking that we could exercise some faith today and cast down some dominion and bring about this Red Sea, because God does everything through his people today. He fights his battles through his people and so on. He's given us authority to cast Satan down out of heaven, just as we read. And also we read that in Revelation chapter 12. The saints overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and because they loved not their life unto death. The saints overcame him. The angels were there doing the fighting, but they got their authority from the faith of the saints, right? So I want to share some things with you just to give us some foundation to pray, but I ask that you spend time every day exercising your authority over Satan to cast him down. It doesn't take a lot of people. Yeah. It just takes people exercising their authority. Most of the church was just helpless. I mean, when they watched the voting begin, and the exact opposite was happening. Hillary was pulling out way ahead, and suddenly people who had faith started crying out to God and commanding and binding and loosing, and it switched. The sides totally switched. That's not an accident. They were cheating. But when God's people exercised their authority, God nullified their cheating, and things went back the other way. And we thank God for that. So the Red Sea was taking them down right there. We saw the red map and how little the blue had gained. And by the way, that's also that map is also a picture of crime in America. Everywhere there's blue, there was a rampant crime in America. It's amazing and astounding. So, not to say that there isn't any on the so-called right wing, which is really still a left wing, Republicans that have been partaking of the same sacrificing children and things like that. They're all infected. We know how people get infected with faction and witchcraft. We've watched it. It's very clear. If you don't have association with them, you're not out of order and you stay clean. But if you do, then you get the disease, because God's made commands over and over and over, you know, and people disobey them. Well, they do it to their own destruction. So here I'm going to read this article, and this one is one of them that's on What Does It Mean? They always take their information from the Kremlin analysts. If you think, well, we should take our instructions from the mainstream media, who is controlled by the deep state, well, you don't know what's going on. And I'm not taking anything, you know, at face value here. I know everybody's got their slant. Okay, but I'm going to share this so that we know what to pray for. And I've researched it with other, you know, sources too, and found out that this is the truth. And this name of this article, it was on August the 3rd. Russia declares state of war now exists, orders master chain destruction of America. Okay, an apocalyptic sounding new report released in the Kremlin today by the Security Council affirms that a state of war now exists between the Federation and the United States, with all members, including President Putin, authorizing a master chain counterattack against the Americans that, if fully successful, could see that nation's entire economy destroyed by the end of October. Okay, I'm not sure about their dates and stuff, but according to this report, and as we warned about in our July 23rd article called New U.S. Law to Remove Trump from Power and Declare War on Russia Will Be Met by Force. Okay. President Donald Trump yesterday was unable to withstand the deep state forces arrayed against him, thus causing him to sign a new sanctions regime against Russia that specifically targets all of Russia's major industries for destruction. And of course, this is because of their flat-out lie that Russia delved into our elections. Okay, so they got no foundation for it. They've proven they got no foundation for it, but they still want a war between Russia and America. And they want this because they're full of the devil, they're full of faction, they're full of witchcraft, and they're full of hatred, and they don't want peace, and they haven't had peace. I mean, Obama's not had any time of peace the whole time he was in there. They're They want a new world order. They want a war between Russia and America in order for them to bring their new world order. And they never forgive. They never tried to make peace. That is faction and witchcraft, whether it's on the religious side or whether it's on the political side. It's the same enemy with the same demons. And so we can, we have authority to do what the Lord tells us to do. And we believe Trump is not through with his Cyrus job. And that is to loose the people of God from Babylon's grip. And now we've united in the scriptures. We've shown from the scriptures that God parallels the Red Sea experience and the deliverance from bondage in Egypt with the king of Babylon and the deliverance of his bondage. He's not finished, and when he gets finished, we'll be in the wilderness. Okay? He's going down in the Red Sea. Pharaoh's going down in the Red Sea. King of Babylon's going down in the Red Sea. We showed that from the scriptures. God used both of those parallels together several times to help us to understand. Pharaoh's going down in the Red Sea. Don't worry so much about what you read. I'm reading it here so we can pray against it so it don't happen, right? But don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. Exercise your authority and your dominion and believe that what you say has to come to pass. You are a son of God. You've been called for this particular time. So they want to target all of Russia's major industries for destruction. And that Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev quickly responded to by grimly stating, "The signing of new sanctions against Russia into law by the U.S. president leads to several consequences. First, any hope of improving our relations with the new U.S. administration is over." Not quite. "Second, the U.S. just declared a full-scale trade war on Russia. Third, the Trump administration demonstrated it is utterly powerless and in the most humiliating manner transferred executive powers to Congress." That was a mistake. I know he believes he was in a corner and there wasn't anything else he could do, and I believe the Lord's going to use it because now he's weak. Now you're in the position where God can do something. His powers are made perfect in weakness, right? And this shifts the alignment of forces in U.S. political circles. What does this mean for the U.S.? The American establishment completely outplayed Trump. Talking about the deep state, right? The president is not happy with the new sanctions, but he could not avoid signing the new law. The purpose of the new sanctions was to put Trump in his place. Their ultimate goal is to remove Trump from power. And this does remove some power from Trump, this new law, right? Goes on to say, an incompetent player must be eliminated. Yep. Well, Father, we send forth encouragement to Trump. We know that after this happened, he went to take a vacation, probably thoroughly disgusted. But we thank you that during this time you're speaking to his mind, telling him that you're not through with him, that you have a work to do, that just be ready, that you will take care of things. And we thank you for that, Father. We bind the demon forces that are being sent against his mind by the Satanists and their sacrifices of babies and children. We cast all that down. What's being sent against Trump, we just eliminate in the name of Jesus. We thank you that those big angels are around him, batting down these fiery darts that are coming against his mind. We thank you for encouraging him and filling him with faith and helping him to understand you and know you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. And it goes on to say, at the same time, The interests of American businesses were almost ignored. Politics rose above the pragmatic approach. Yeah, isn't it amazing, you know, that they've been preaching the fall of the economy, the fall of the economy, the fall of the economy, but it's gotten better and better. And now they want to kill the hen that laid the golden egg here, right? The goose that laid the golden egg or whatever. Yeah, they don't care about that. The elite don't care about that. They don't care about the economy. They don't care about America. They want a war. They want the America and Russia weakened because both have withstood their power. So we thank you, Father, that they are weak, that they are unable to bring to pass their conspiracies. We forbid it in the name of Jesus. Their conspiracies will fail. Their satanic sacrifices will fail. Their Lord Satan is under our feet. We demand, Satan, that you cease from your warfare against this country. You're about to lose your troops. And we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. We cast down your authority and your power. Cyrus is taken over. We stand behind him, and he is taken over. And he is going to loose the people of God to return to their promised land and rebuild the kingdom of God, just as he gave decree in the scriptures. Thank you, Lord. Anti-Russian hysteria has turned into a key part of not only foreign, as has been the case many times, but also domestic U.S. policy. And this is recent. The sanctions codified into law will now last for decades unless some miracle occurs. Well, I think those folks believe in miracles more than our folks believe in miracles, but we just saw a miracle putting Trump in there in the first place. Now they want to overthrow what the voters decided, this bunch of communists, this bunch of elitists, this bunch of Satanists. With the American deep state now firmly in control of the United States, I wouldn't say so. God's people just need to realize that they're not in control. We are. We've been given authority. We just read it. And we bind their kings with chains. We bind them with fetters of iron. We forbid this authority that they attempt to take. They may be chasing us to the Red Sea, but God's got a trap there for them. This report continues. President Putin's orders, issued in late 2016 to prepare war against the United States, have now been accelerated, and none more fearful than Operation Master Chain. I'm not going to go into the areas of this very much, because I'm more interested in taking authority over them. Though the propaganda Western media focused exclusively on President Putin's bomb shelter preparations, this report details they failed to inform their peoples that Russia has the most extensive network of bomb shelters to protect against nuclear war the world has ever known. While the United States has no protection for its citizens, as it doesn't even spend any money on them. And on October of 2016, when President Putin ordered these preparations for war, this report says the Western propaganda media also failed to report to their peoples that the Central Bank of Russian Federation had developed Master Chain. Okay, this is a way for them to undercut America and the dollar, and I'm not going to go into that. You can go read it if you want to on their site, because it's not the main point here. I'm going to go on down here. Russia, however, this report continues, has never matched the warmongers in America and has kept defense spending at a fraction of what the U.S. spends, thus allowing the Federation to have a minuscule national debt of only $157.9 billion. that can be paid off instantly from Russia's $412 billion of savings, and whose 143 million citizens owe nothing, and all of whom live in a nation twice the size of the United States, having a total national wealth of $75 trillion. And it goes on to talk a little bit about that. Okay. With the deep state now firmly in control of the U.S. Congress, now we'll go and talk about the law just a little bit in a few minutes so you can know why they're saying this, you know, the law that they mentioned earlier. With the deep state now firmly in control of the U.S. Congress, this report warns, their bloodlust shows no signs of abating. Yeah, these are the faction. This is the witchcraft. These are the Satanists. You saw how they went nuts on TV and pulling their hair out because President Trump went in there and so on and so forth. You know, well, they're crazy. And we call them the stupid demons. And not for no reason. It's very obvious. But they also cannot outsmart anybody with reasonable intelligence, much less God Almighty. Also preparing several defense bills that would require their Department of Defense to violate the 1987 Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty with Russia through the development of medium-range missiles banned under the accord, with one of their top Democratic Party lawmakers, U.S. Senator Ben Cardin, triumphantly declaring, "We make the laws, not the President of the United States." Okay, so, yeah, they're a lawless bunch. They have bent and broken the Constitution as many times as we can even imagine. So they're just a lawless bunch, and we have authority to cast them down in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you to send forth your angels to reveal all of the law breaking that these people have been into, that they won't be able to hide a thing. It'll all come out in the open, and they'll end up looking like fools like they have from the very beginning. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And as President Trump just hours ago warned that relations between the U.S. and Russia are at an all-time and a very dangerous low, and his adding that the American people should blame the U.S. Congress for this turn of events, this report concludes, and of course that's because so many people did not read what was in the law they were about to make. It ought to be against the law. You can't vote on a law if you don't know what it says. But the left wing, they're intent on lying and deceiving and hiding everything from the American people. His sudden announcement that he is going into seclusion for 17 days beginning Friday has raised further alarms among Security Council members wondering who exactly is now in control of the United States. Okay, well that's one. I want to the law that he mentioned there. Let me make a little comment about that so we can pray against this. Okay. First of all, Lord, we ask that everybody comes to the revelation that this is totally illegal in their relationship with foreign countries, and it's totally illegal for them to make laws that they don't even know that what they are, and to put fake names on laws so that you won't know what's in them. And this is July the 23rd, new U.S. law to remove Trump from power and declare war on Russia will be met by force. By Sorcia Fall, as reported to her Western subscribers. A terrifying Ministry of Foreign Affairs report circulating in the Kremlin states that the United States Congress is preparing to pass a new law this coming week that, if enacted, and it was, would essentially remove President Donald Trump from power and amount to an open declaration of war on the entire Federation. Two things that they want the most, right? And that President Putin has vowed will be met by force. According to this report, a new U.S. law deceptively named Countering Iran's Destabilizing Activities Act of 2017. Well, you know, there was a lot of people in the Senate and the Congress that are against this Iran destabilizing activities, you know. Of course, they didn't read what was really in the law. And now they're too embarrassed to open their mouth and say, we made a mistake, we did wrong, this was evil, we were deceived, etc. In order to keep the American people from knowing its true nature. In other words, they put this lie, this title on there, that's a lie. And was introduced in the U.S. Senate and passed by a vote of 98-2. This is what put a whole lot of pressure on Trump. And whose final version, posted on the U.S. House of Representatives website last night, shows its true aim or goal, as more than 80% of it is devoted solely to taking all power away from President Trump, while at the same time openly declaring war on Russia. Under the U.S. Constitution, that provides for a tripartite form of government, equally dividing state power among the executive branch, legislative branch, and judicial branch. This report explains President Trump is the federal official primarily responsible for the relations of the United States with foreign nations. Now, I'm going to share with you in a few minutes why I think this is so important and that God permitted this to happen, because we're having a situation with another foreign nation. If it works with Russia, it'll work with them. They can take away Trump's authority concerning what's happening with Israel and concerning what's happening with Israel making a covenant and land for peace, etc., etc. They're opening a very bad Pandora's box here, because if they come up with a solution and opposing another solution, it looks like the president can be overruled. You know, he's bringing something up here that they can now jump in and take authority over. So, I'll read that part again. President Trump is the federal official primarily responsible under the Constitution for the relations of the United States with foreign nations. But should this new law pass, which it did, it would remove all such powers from the executive branch, giving them instead to the U.S. Congress, who shockingly, in the final version of this bill, takes executive orders signed by President Barack Obama and makes them law. Here we are, back to Barack Obama. We thought that when we marched out of Egypt, he lost all power. But somewhere along the way, he thought he could come and drag us back. Well, you know what happens. You've read the end of the story. Okay, we just have to make sure it happens. Okay, that's our job, right? We just speak for the Lord, that's all. Executive orders signed by Barack Obama and makes them law. Yeah, how much the conservative people on the talk shows and things have said that the Barack Obama shadow government coup that is against Trump is in full swing. Rush was one of them. He's been pushing that. Also, Lou Dobbs. You know, he says, Lou Dobbs said, Mr. Trump is correct. This is a witch hunt In my view, what we are witnessing is nothing less than a coup attempt. Okay, these are lawless people. They have to be held to the Constitution. And we just thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you that we send forth the angels to trip them up, to show what they're doing illegally behind the scenes, and to put them in jail, or worse. And Lord, any of them you can save, that would be just awesome. We need witnesses from the bad side to come and tell us everything that's going on. We thank you, too, for sending division in their midst, Lord, and causing them to fight with one another, Father. We believe it, and we accept it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And in 2014, this report notes, President Obama signed Executive Orders 13660, 13661, 62, 85, 94, and 13757, imposing sanctions on Russia, which the executive branch has the powers to do. He was trying very hard to start a war, all the way up until the time he was outed. He was working very hard to cause a war with Russia. And Mr. Putin very wisely didn't take the bait. But for the first time in American history, the U.S. Congress, as the legislative branch, takes these executive orders signed by Obama and orders President Trump not to ever remove them. So he's still in power. We're going to the Red Sea, but Pharaoh's still in power. King of Babylon is still in power. It isn't finished yet. You can't finish it before Cyrus takes them out, right? Cyrus has got to take them out and release the people of God to go back and build their kingdom, because obviously it's in shambles, right? We've been taken captive to Babylon, right? It's in shambles. So the prophecies that we've read in the past are still not fulfilled. These still have to come to pass, and we have to make sure of that, because if we're not plundering Satan's kingdom, we're going to be scattered. They're going to have their way. So this effectively negates his ability to conduct foreign policy. And, of course, that's why he was voted in there. Okay, now there's a bunch of statements here concerning the sanctions and so on and so forth. And you can read that if you want to. And, by the way, this has made a division between Germany and the EU and the United States, because their warning of retaliation when these sanctions harm their interests. And their warning that unilateral actions by the U.S. Congress will most assuredly have unintended consequences. And the alliance of the Obama-Clinton Democratic Party with Republican Party warmongering neocons is listening to no one but themselves, and who actually believe that they can dictate the destruction of Russia without any cost to them being paid. Well, we need to make sure it costs them. Even their attempt, we need to make sure it costs them, right? Foreign Minister Lavrov stating earlier today that the American established will still in shock, is still in shock due to President Trump's election, and that his deep state enemies want to make the life of this administration miserable as they speak about impeaching him. Of course, we cast that down too. You know, even if it comes to pass, the Red Sea is going to take them down. So what authority will they have, right? So we don't care. We just forbid it to actually harm us in any way. We thank you, Lord, for absolute and total victory. And we bind the demons that are binding the left-wing Satanists. We bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. We cast down their conspiracies. We forbid it. in the name of Jesus. And this report concludes, he nevertheless believes Trump can survive and a war can be averted, but most certainly not due to the U.S. mainstream fake news propaganda media, whom Lavrov commented on by bluntly stating, "Frankly, I read the news from the United States less and less." True. Good idea. Okay, so I said I was going to say something about this. Okay, here's an article from July the 30th, 2017. Netanyahu discusses land swaps with Trump administration. Now, this really sounds like a good idea. If you didn't know what the Bible said, and that the Lord forbid Israel to give up their land or any other nation to try to take away their land without severe consequences, you would know that even land swaps are giving up their land. And it's not biblical, and it may sound good, but and it's ultimately going to come to pass. But I got to say, I don't think Trump is the guy to necessarily make this covenant. First of all, the overwhelming majority of Christianity is totally dead wrong about who makes the covenant. The same one that invaded Israel in 70 AD, according to Daniel 9, 26 and 27, is the one that's going to make the covenant. And it was the people of the prince that shall come. You know, what prince is that? It's the prince of the Roman Empire. Notice, remember Daniel's vision of the Roman Empire, how it was the head of gold all the way down through the legs, the Eastern and Western Roman Empire. And that Eastern and Western Roman Empire lasted all the way up unto the toes, the ten toes, which are the ten kings in the tribulation. Some people say there is no revived Roman Empire. Well, it's never died. There's none of those legs are cut off. None of those toes are cut off. The iron's mixed with the clay, true enough, because there are nations out there that weren't a part of that original Roman Empire, especially Muslim nations, that are clay. And clay and iron don't mix well. They don't hold up. They're not strong against the kingdom of God, which rolls down out of the mountain and smites that image in the feet and crumbles the whole thing. Remember that. Okay, so this move that they're making, of course, is going to end in failure. But people are saying now that Trump is the Antichrist because he is doing this, okay? He's ignorant, and so is Netanyahu. But they're not the Antichrist. And the term the Antichrist is not used in Daniel's revelation there. Those beasts, you know, from the head of gold on down are beast kingdoms. And all of those people, the Bible says that their kingdom won't continue, but their lives are prolonged. Well, how is that? In their seed, and their seed is all in the UN right now. That's the only place the ten toes are, in the UN right now. And that's going to fail. But not before they've turned the people of God back to him. So when they say Donald Trump is the Antichrist, they're totally missing it. If the Antichrist is the one making the covenant, according to Daniel 9, 26 and 27, he's a couple of thousand years old. But we look at the rest of the text in chapter 9 and chapter 10, and we find out that the princes are principalities. All of them mentioned there are principalities. Now, we know there's a demon principality over the Roman Empire, and the legs come all the way down to the toes, and the iron is still in the toes, for goodness sake. People are saying there's no such thing. They don't know what they're talking about. This UN is a revived Roman Empire. And the nations come together in order to make decisions there. The Security Council is the head of that empire. And it's all doomed to failure just because the kingdom of God by Jesus Christ is rolling down out of that mountain to hit it in the feet and smite it and crumble it to pieces. Okay? So, the one making this is a demon principality. It's not a man. Okay? And men in their ignorance may be used to do this. But I say also, remember that there was a time when Obama was in power. We called him Pharaoh and the king of Babylon. He was in power. He fits both of those parables. And then he lost power. And then he tried to reinforce his power 7 days later at the Red Sea. Okay? Well, the reason he lost power is because Trump, or Cyrus, won the election, basically, and he conquered him. And now he's coming back to try to reinforce his power. But the Red Sea represents those people also that voted for Trump. You remember the map with the red all over it? A Red Sea. Okay? So God is going to use his people, and he's going to use the Red Sea, which God's people are going to walk right through with no problems, but it's going to take down Obama, Pharaoh, who is a parallel revelation according to the scriptures with the king of Babylon. You remember Belshazzar, who was getting drunk on the night that Cyrus's army came in and conquered him, basically without a fight. And basically, there was no physical fight when Cyrus took the kingdom here. And but Cyrus is not through. Okay? The people have yet to return to Babylon with his blessings, with his money, with his, you know, basically, this is not finished. Okay? So, let me read this to you. And it's called Netanyahu Discussed Land Swaps with Trump Administration, July 30th, 2017. Right at the top there is a verse, Genesis 17 and 8. I assign the land you sojourn in to you and your offspring to come, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting holding. I will be their God. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has held discussions on land swaps as part of a comprehensive peace deal with the Palestinians and the Trump administration, media reports say. And folks, it's a done deal. They've already, for years, changed highways in order to split Jerusalem. It's going to be part of the deal. As much as they scream it's not going to be, but it's ultimately going to be part of the deal, ultimately. And according to the proposed plan, it goes on to say, some Israeli Arab communities could be moved to Palestinian control, while Israel would annex some major Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria. This may have been one of many ideas discussed several weeks ago in the context of a peace agreement and not in the context of a separate annexation, one senior White House official said, Haaretz reported. Earlier this week, Netanyahu also indicated that he would support an initiative to integrate four Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria, as well as large settlement block, into Jerusalem municipality. The initiative would also see about 100,000 Palestinians living in eastern Jerusalem removed from the city's census and integrated into a new municipality in East Jerusalem. Okay. So, there we know that the covenant is going to be made. And that when it's made and Israel is divided, their land is divided, that the Lord has said over and over through many different sources to many different people, including us, that he's going to divide America. And, of course, that involves the breaking open of the New Madrid, great earthquakes, upon nations who agreed with this settlement. There's going to be, according to the scripture, the overthrow of kingdoms because of this. Because these earthquakes and the waters, that tsunamis and things that come from them are going to take out kingdoms. And so we know that this is something that's coming. We've been warned that it's coming. And the Red Sea, by the way, is an awful lot of water taking out the enemy. God is going to resituate things with this water situation. And so we're not opposed to that. We don't want to get in God's way in anything. We just want to obey what he has told us is to be done. And we don't want to get into just defending what we want. We don't want to get into our own ideas about what should be done. And we want to do what the Lord has told us to do. And I'm going to just read this to you. It's Wikipedia concerning Cyrus the Great. And just a tiny part of it, and also a part of Josephus I'd like to read to you. The decree of Cyrus. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord, the God of heaven, given me. Well, who is in position to actually be the king of the earth? That's right. And he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whosoever there is among you of all of his people, the Lord his God be with him, and let him go there. That was 2 Chronicles 36:23. And it was reproduced somewhat in the book of Ezra, 6:3-5. In the first year of King Cyrus, which is where we are, Cyrus the king issued a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Well, we're not through with the first year yet, and I suspect he's still going to be in power, and he's going to make this decree. And the reason I suspect it is we're supposed to make sure of this, okay? Father, we take your authority to exercise authority over the kings of this earth, over the deep state, who really think they're running things, and Obama and Hillary and their gang of thugs. And Lord, we just come against this conspiracy that is working every direction that they possibly can, and we cast it down in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid it. We thank you, Lord, that the angels are going forth to prepare the Red Sea, a baptism of destruction for the enemy. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We command that the powers of darkness lose their grip. We command that every deception that they have made will be revealed. We command that the peoples of this nation rise up against them and overthrow them completely. We thank you for your Red Sea coming in, Lord. We know nobody else could do this but you, and we thank you for it. And the edict in Ezra says, in the first year of King Cyrus, Cyrus the king issued a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Now, as you know, this is not talking about natural Jerusalem. It's in bondage with her children. But we are of that new Jerusalem that comes down from above. Although there is a natural Jerusalem, you know, in the spirit realm too, and that is Zedekiah, the false king, the evil king, and his people were conquered and taken into captivity for their evil. We point out that there is both a good Jerusalem, that is a good leadership of God's people out there, being born from above, just as the New Jerusalem is being born from above in the letters to the churches, especially the Church of Philadelphia. And at the same time, there is an evil leadership that God is going to destroy. Concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the temple, the place where sacrifices are offered, well, there's no crucified life in the apostate church. It's among the real people of God that they are the priests, and they offer up their fleshly sacrifice upon the altar of the fiery trial. Be rebuilt, and let its foundations be retained, its height being 60 cubits, and its width 60 cubits, with three layers of huge stones and one layer of timbers. And let the cost be paid from the royal treasury. Oh, praise the Lord. Also, let the gold and silver utensils of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be returned and brought to their places in the temple in Jerusalem. And you shall put them in the house of God. Amen. And Josephus, concerning Cyrus and his the Isaiah writing about Cyrus in Josephus's Antiquities of the Jews, Book 11, Chapter 1. In the first year of the reign of Cyrus, which was the 70th from the day that our people were removed out of their own land into Babylon. 70 years or up, right? Because God's people are about to be set free to go and rebuild the kingdom of God. And what we mean by the kingdom of God is the kingdom that we once had among Jesus and his disciples. Not the Pharisees' kingdom, which we have now. It preceded that, you see. And so the Pharisees' kingdom, which we have now, their forefathers were the Pharisees in Jerusalem that persecuted Jesus and his disciples. The things that have been are the things that shall be. So this goes on to say, God commiserated the captivity and calamity of these poor people according as he had foretold to them by Jeremiah the prophet before the destruction of the city, that after they had served Nebuchadnezzar and his posterity, and after they had undergone that servitude 70 years, he would restore them again to the land of their fathers, that they should build their temple and enjoy their ancient prosperity. Our ancient prosperity was that which was given to us at the time when Jesus gave it to the disciples. And that's exactly what we're going back to, a restoration of all things. And as Joel pointed out, God's going to restore it all, and then some. And these things God did afford them, for he stirred up the mind of Cyrus and made him write this throughout all of Asia. Thus saith Cyrus the king, since God Almighty hath appointed me to be king of the habitable earth, I believe that he is that God which the nation of the Israelites worships. For indeed he foretold my name by the prophets, and that I should build him a house at Jerusalem, in the country of Judea. This was known to Cyrus by his reading the book which Isaiah left behind him of his prophecies. For this prophet said that God had spoken thus to him in a secret vision, "My will is that Cyrus, whom I have appointed to be king over many and great nations, send back my people to their own land and build my temple." This was and by the way, the temple is the people of God, not a building. God doesn't dwell in temples made with men's hands. This was foretold by Isaiah 140 years before the temple was demolished. Accordingly, when Cyrus read this and admired the divine power, an earnest desire and ambition seized upon him to fulfill what was so written. So he called for the most eminent Jews that were in Babylon, and said unto them that he gave them leave to go back to their own country and to rebuild their city, Jerusalem, and the temple of God, for that he would be their assistant, and that he would write to the rulers and governors that were in the neighborhood of their country of Judea, that they should contribute to them gold and silver for the building of the temple, and besides that, beasts for their sacrifices. So Cyrus was a very respected conqueror. He treated people well after conquering them. Many times the people themselves helped to overthrow their own kingdom, as it did, as happened with Babylon, because they did not like this foreign usurper, Belshazzar, who was basically trying to foist his God upon them, which is what Obama tried to do, foist his God upon us, and the people helped to bring down their own kingdom and helped Cyrus to come in and take over. How cool. So, Father, we thank you so much. We know Cyrus is going to be empowered in the name of Jesus Christ to go and finish his job. We thank you for this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We're not looking at the rules and the laws that these people have perverted, and their destruction of the Constitution in order to do it. These people have proven themselves to be totally lawless and totally worthless in any way that is good. So we thank you, Father, for overthrowing them, and we believe it and we confess it. We just praise you. We confess you before men as the Word tells us to do. Lord, we just give praise unto you and thanks unto you in Jesus' holy name. Well, okay, I'm going to read to you a text in Jeremiah 51. Let's see, where am I going to start? Verse 28. And, of course, we know that this is the fall of Babylon. And we're not doubting that down the road there will be a more physical manifestation of this fall of Babylon, the United States, towards the end of the tribulation period. But here's a more spiritual aspect of this, which Cyrus is taking a part in, Trump is taking a part in. I'm going to read verse 28 of Jeremiah 51 on down. "Prepare against her the nations of the Medes." Now, we know that the head of the Medes was Cyrus, and God had prepared them to conquer Babylon and set God's people free, as he said he would do. The king of the Medes, the governors thereof, and all the deputies thereof, and all the land of their dominion. And the land trembleth, and is in pain, for the purposes of the Lord against Babylon do stand, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. Now, we're not talking about the United States. We're talking about a spiritual entity that God has in the United States called Babylon. It's going to be destroyed. Okay? And that's what Cyrus is doing. You know, Cyrus has come for this time in order to be here for the Red Sea, so that every decree that he makes will come to pass. We know that the people of God were set free at the Red Sea. At the same time, Pharaoh's army was destroyed. And the king of Babylon's army was destroyed, because we've looked at the parallels there. They're very clear, but I can't go back and do that today. But, and the land trembleth and is in pain, for the purposes of the Lord against Babylon do stand, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They remain in their strongholds. Their might hath failed. They are become as women. Her dwelling places are set on fire. Her bars are broken. We know that when Babylon was conquered, God made sure that the bars were open for Cyrus's army to come in and conquer. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on every quarter. And the passages are seized, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. This was the fall of Babylon to Cyrus and his Medo-Persian Empire. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor at the time when it is trodden. Yet a little while, and the time of harvest shall come for her. Yes, amen. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. Well, just think about what Obama, who has been identified to us as the king of Babylon, just think about what he has done, you know, during his terms. Christianity has lost all power in government, all representation in government. Pretty much an empty vessel. And the people had no real hope of overcoming this. The Lord himself desired to send Cyrus to bring about the freedom so that the real kingdom of God can be restored. The kingdom that we left back 2,000 years ago. Like a monster swallowed me up. He hath filled his maw with my delicacies. He hath cast me out. Yep. His plan, of course, Obama's plan, was to completely overwhelm the United States with Islam and to displace Christianity here and to destroy it down to its roots. Of course, the Lord wasn't in that. And it wasn't going to happen. But that was his plan. It was prophesied of him many years ago. Matter of fact, different prophecies concerning this man. And he had it well underway. But Cyrus, the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say. And my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. Yep, because he brought destruction to the Christian way of life. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee. I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for jackals. An astonishment. You know, jackals kill their own brethren, even in the womb. That's right. They're particularly nasty creatures. And that's what we're seeing. These very nasty creatures up there. Demon-possessed creatures that have lost all humanity, attempting to hold on to their place of power. The most despicable criminals that have ever ruled the United States. An astonishment and a hissing without inhabitant. They shall roar together like young lions. They shall growl as lions' whelps. And when they are heated, I will make their feast. Very interesting. When they are heated, I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord. Well, this is, of course, a reference to Belshazzar's feast on the very night that Cyrus Trump's army came in and conquered them. Very easily, because God made sure his angels had the gates unlocked on either bank, and they marched right in underneath the river gate, and they diverted the Euphrates River enough to where they could walk thigh deep in water and walk underneath the gate and come into the city, and on either bank the bars were unlocked. Can you imagine? Here they are at war. They know the enemy's out there. They've been losing battles to the enemy. And now he's at their gate, and he marches right in and takes over, and the people don't resist, I think, because they really hated their ruler. And he don't know that yet, that big-headed fella. How is Shishak taken? And the praise of the whole earth ceased. How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? The sea has come up upon Babylon. There you go again, right? That sounds like Hildegard's prophecy. The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Well, first of all, this drunken feast of Belshazzar and the waves coming in. Let me jump ahead just for a minute and we'll come back to this text. But verse 53. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall destroyers come unto her, says the Lord. I believe that this is the Medes and the Persians, Cyrus's army, as a destroying army coming to conquer them. But here's another little thing here. Verse 54, the sound of a cry from Babylon, and of great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. For the Lord layeth Babylon waste, and destroyeth out of her the great voice. Well, I don't know if you know who the great voice is, but I do. It's a very slick serpent tongue. He destroyeth out of her the great voice, and their waves roar like many waters. That sounds a little like the Red Sea, because obviously they didn't have that big of a problem with the Euphrates River, but he also parallels them with the Red Sea experience of God's people coming out of bondage in Egypt, right? and the noise of their voice is uttered, for the destroyer is come upon her. Look, the waves, the roar of many waters, and the destroyer is not like the destroyers up above, which is the army, but the destroyer that causes these great waves is come upon her. I believe that sounds a lot more like Planet X showing up. It's the destroyer, not destroyers. Even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Their bows are broken in pieces. Well, okay, the deep state's going down. We just know it. For the Lord is a God of recompenses. He will surely requite. I mean, he's going to require of them the blood that they shed concerning God's people. He will surely requite. And I will make drunk there her princes and her wise men. So this is the timing of it. This is obviously the end for the king of Babylon. Her governors and her deputies and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep. The same thing we read back in verse 39. Make them drunken, sleep a perpetual sleep. So this is the end of the Red Sea here that we're looking at. Saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly overthrown, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The peoples shall labor for vanity, and the nations for the fire. They shall be weary. So here we have, you know, the end result when they're totally conquered by Cyrus, and there's nothing really else that they can do. And, of course, I think, Pharaoh showed up again at the Red Sea to try to bring God's people back under his dominion, and he's going to lose because there's the Red Sea. All right? Back over to our text. Verse 42, the sea has come upon Babylon, and she is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Here's our Red Sea. By the way, when the destroyer comes, we're going to have water problems, especially in the east, down the midst of the country, and in the west. Extreme water problems. And in the Gulf, by the way. Extreme water problems. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are become a desolation. And most of the big cities, of course, are along the coasts and along the Mississippi River Valley and along, you know, just different places. A desolation and a dry land and a desert, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. I will execute judgment upon Bel. Bel, by the way, was the name of the dragon that Daniel conquered. Bel and the dragon, or some versions call it the Bel and the serpent. But as you know, in Revelation 12, the serpent and the dragon are one and the same. You know, it's the old dragon who is Satan, who is the head of his kingdom. And he's going to lose, you know, because he has no authority over us. Neither did he have over the story of Bel, Daniel and the dragon, and the god there was Bel, and who was the dragon. And I will execute judgment upon Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up. Now that's right on the other side of the Red Sea, which we just read about there. The sea has come upon Babylon. This baptism of the Red Sea to put to death these evil leadership, folks. He hath swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow any more unto him. yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. What kept the enemy out of Babylon was that wall of steel that they had going across the Euphrates River and on both banks, and the thing that kept the enemy out failed. My people, go ye out of the midst of her. Save yourselves, every man, from the fierce anger of the Lord. Let not your heart faint, neither fear ye for the tidings that shall be heard in the land. For tidings shall come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come tidings. And violence in the land, ruler against ruler. We've seen that, right? Therefore, behold, the days come that I will execute judgment upon the graven images of Babylon. Everything that they have trusted in is going to fall. I believe that multitudes of people are going to come into the kingdom with this awesome witness. Having read some of the things that the Egyptians wrote about when the destroyer came in those days, and they found out the things that Moses prophesied to them all came to pass. Moses was highly respected among the Egyptians, you know. Not saying they loved him, that he was highly respected. And they believed that the Israelites' God was God. They certainly didn't believe Pharaoh was. And her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for joy over Babylon. For the destroyers shall come unto her from the north, says the Lord. And it's true that the Medes and the Persians came from the north and from the east and conquered them. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the land. Now, how did our Babylon conquer the church, our New Testament spiritual Israel? How did it conquer it? Well, they've been taken over by the mind of the beast. They've been invaded and taken over by the carnal. The leadership are not spiritual. They believe in lies. They are Babylonish to the core. They are members of the body of the harlot. They have tried to hold God's people in bondage to them because they lusted after the flock of the Lord, just as Jesus gave parables about them that were true in his day and in our day. And they're going to lose. Ye that have escaped the sword, go ye and stand not still. Remember the Lord from afar, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. Notice, when the people of God were set free from Babylon, where did they go? Well, they went to Jerusalem. And when the people of God were set free from Egypt, where did they go? Yes, they went to the place of Jerusalem. Yeah. The Jebusites had Jerusalem at that time. And let Jerusalem come into your mind. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. When Babylon was conquered, they had destroyed Jerusalem, and it had to be rebuilt. It represents the leadership of God's people. And when the people went to the promised land, that's what they built too. And God's people were taken captive to Egypt, you know, because of the great scourge that was upon them. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Confusion hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. So that's how Babylon
invaded not only Israel, but the Church of God. It invaded. And there are people in the pulpits that don't know God. They don't have the authority of God. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit, nor do they believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will execute judgment upon her graven images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. Yes. And I'm going to go to something else right now. I'm going to go and look in Jeremiah 24. Eve Brast asked recently for a word for our local assembly, and she got the good figs and the promises to the good figs is what she got. She shared it. And, of course, there is both a promise and a curse there. There's a removal of an evil leadership over God's people, and there is a promise and a blessing to those who are the fruitful figs, right? Jeremiah 24. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord, after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah. Now, if we read a little bit later, we'll see Zedekiah is in that place, right? And with the craftsmen and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon, taken into captivity. Now, this is a parable. Obviously, when the people of God have rebelled, He's always sent a beast to conquer them. They are one and the same. When you rebel, it's because the beast has conquered you. He's taken you out of your land. You're no longer standing on the promised land or the promises of God, and you're taken into captivity. So we can see that Babylon has conquered Christianity in this way. Strangers have come in to the house of God, as we just read. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad. They cannot be eaten, they are so bad. He's talking about people. Talking about people. There is an apostate Christianity out there with their apostate Jerusalem, speaking of the leadership of the rest of Israel, which was the Old Testament church. That's a type and a shadow of the New Testament church. So the things that have been are the things that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. This is the situation we're in today. So Jeremiah saw the very good figs and the very bad figs that were so bad that they couldn't be eaten. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I regard the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for good. Well, you know, taken captive by Babylon was good for some people. They received the chastening. They repented of their ways. They came out from among them as the Lord commanded, you know. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. It means back to the place where their Jerusalem was destroyed, their temple was destroyed, and to rebuild. And that was, of course, Cyrus's job. And I will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. This is the good plans of the Lord for His people. He's going to rebuild His kingdom after the image of the kingdom of David. He said that many times in the Scriptures. That's what we're looking at. The parable there is what's being fulfilled, right? I will plant them and not pluck them up. In other words, this time, as the Scripture says, Jesus will be great unto the ends of the earth, and these people will not be conquered. We do know, as He's going to tell you about the bad figs, that they are going to be conquered. These people saved, these people delivered to go back and rebuild their city at the same time as these very bad figs are going to be conquered. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. I will even give them up to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth for evil, to be a reproach and a proverb and a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, the pestilence among them until they be consumed from off of the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. So remember that this apostate, illegal leadership that has taken over God's people because they have no discernment whatsoever, because they do not know the Scriptures and are not looking for a Jesus to come and save them and deliver them and be manifest in their leadership. They were not looking for these things. And so God is sending at this time judgment for these people. Now this is spoken about again in Jeremiah 29. I'm going to read to you, I would say 10 through about 17 or so. You remember we spoke about seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away. That's in verse 7. And so we are to seek the peace of this city. We are to seek peace, even though they are hard to bring into peace, obviously. But verse 10 says, for thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are accomplished for Babylon. Of course, that was when Cyrus came, Trump came. I will visit you. So the Lord Himself is doing a visitation in Trump and in the man-child all at the same time. And perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end. Amen. Good words from the Lord. Comforting words from the Lord. He knows the thoughts. Don't suspect that the Lord's thoughts are evil or angry or condemning, you know. Many people wrestle with condemnation in these days. They think that the Lord is angry all the time. He's not. I mean, we just need to believe the Scriptures. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we forgive our brethren, then we are forgiven. And if we don't forgive our brethren, then we're not forgiven. And if we're not chasing the devil, he's chasing us, as we saw earlier. But he did all this to give us a hope in these days. He has good thoughts towards us, thoughts of peace, not evil. And you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity, and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. God's going to return his people to his New Jerusalem, right? And because you have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Well, that's, they're still saying that. They're still saying these are the prophets in Babylon, and they're, you know, preaching their own gospel and doing their own thing. Thus saith the Lord concerning the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and concerning all the people that dwell in this city. Your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence. Just what we just got through reading about the bad figs, right? And I will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so bad. Can you imagine that there are people that are calling themselves the people of God, and their fruit is so rotten that God just can't handle them, had enough of them. And so he said that he would send them throughout the nations and scatter them and with famine and pestilence and etc. And I will pursue after them with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will devour them to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth. To be an execration, and an astonishment, and a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. Well, I'd say there's not a whole lot of respect between the people of the world and the people of the kingdom. Many of them are not following their conscience, the Word of God, etc. And because they have not hearkened to my word, says the Lord, wherefore I sent unto them my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them. We received this recently in our meeting, as by the way we did of Belshazzar's feast. We received that recently in our morning meeting. The Lord, you know, emphasizing these things to us. But you would not hear, says the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, when I have sent away Jerusalem to Babylon. So, the people of God who are overwhelmingly in Babylon, whether you consider it to be world Babylon or Babylon that is America, the great city. God's people are in captivity to Babylon. They even pledge allegiance to the flag of Babylon. And we're to pledge allegiance to nobody. I mean, people lost their lives in years gone by because they wouldn't pledge allegiance to Caesar and other despots. And now they pledge allegiance to a carnal country called America, the Great Eagle, which was also the symbol of Babylon, and also the symbol of Hitler's regime, the Great Eagle. And now we've seen who's Hitler's regime here and what they plan to do in destroying not the ancient Jews, but the New Testament Jews. They planned to destroy. I believe these have planned to destroy both. But in America, the overwhelming majority is the spiritual Jews. And their Hitler has... And we can tell that their Hitler Youth is out there doing their thing. And it's very, very similar. Making up excuses and false flags. Hitler was good about that. And so are these people. Don't be surprised if they don't try a false flag thing, you know, in order to bring America back into submission. I mean, people that the Christians thought were on their side, like the Bushes, nothing could be further from the truth, for goodness sake. They were in on the false flag that was to draw us into war. They and the neocons, you know, are all the way up through Obama, you know, were taking us to war with the nations. They want less people on the earth. Wars tend to do that. They want to beat the nations down and bring them into humility, and that suits their new world order. And but God has said in verse 14 of Jeremiah 29, and I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So, folks, wherever God's building his Jerusalem, the people are going to be drawn there. And it's going to be a great work because God has ordained teachers there to raise up the church in the image of the original church. Praise be to God. And Father, we thank you so much, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to please put it in the heart of everyone that's listening today and everybody that listens to them to pray, to do spiritual warfare, to exercise their authority, to see this thing through to the end, to bring about the end of this Obama regime, which just doesn't seem to want to go away, and their satanic friends. Why is it that every low and useless people have joined to this bunch? I mean, the communists have joined them. The Satanists have joined them. The Islam has joined them. And they're all radically against the right wing and the Christians. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that all of them together, the media, their false prophet included, all of them together, are going to fail. Because you are the mighty God, and you have decided to bring your people out of Egypt, to bring your people out of Babylonish bondage. Lord, we put our trust in you. We speak in agreement with you. You said what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We believe you, Lord. We trust you. You said also that if any two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So, Lord, we're joining our faith together today to cast down the forces of darkness, the forces of Satan, the forces of the communists, and the Muslims, and the homosexuals, and all, and the women's lib movement, the abortion movement, all of these, Lord, we cast them down in the name of Jesus. Their will not be done. Your will, O Lord, will be done. You have decided to set your people free, to seek your name, seek your face, and that they will see a demonstration of your power against the enemy. The enemy of everything that's righteous and true. Thank you, Father, for this mighty miracle. Thank you, Lord, for this Red Sea. Thank you, Lord, for taking down every last one of these criminals. In the name of Jesus, taking them down in the Red Sea, Lord, overwhelming them in the Red Sea. So much so, Lord, that we'll have to form a new government. As Mr. Ken Dewey prophesied, there'll be a new government because of the water, the waves, earthquake, taking down this government. Thank you so much, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for victory in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for having your people realize the authority that we have when we confess the will of God and we speak it outright. We proclaim it as true. It's like the trumpets for Gideon's army, Lord. Just plain old breath brought forth the sound that could be interpreted and understood. And caused the enemy to be so frightened that they killed off one another. And Lord, that's the way it's going to be. We proclaim it. We proclaim that you will turn the enemy against the enemy. And that as these rats desert what they think is a sinking ship, they're going to be telling on one another to save their own skin. Thank you, Father, that they're squealing to high heaven. And that all revelation is going to be known. Everything that they have done is going to be revealed. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We stand upon the word, Father, that you're going to baptize this country and turn what's left of it back to you. Thank you, Father, for a mighty, mighty work, a mighty deliverance for the people. These Satanists have no love whatsoever for the people of America, much less the people of your kingdom, Lord. They would just as soon kill everybody here to bring about their desires. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you will, as the brethren out there determined to do spiritual warfare and to plunder Satan's kingdom, that you will reveal to them the things that you want them to say and do. And what to come against. We've read the future of Cyrus, the future of the people coming out of Babylon, and we know there's a Red Sea a-coming. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the end, O Lord, of this regime. Thank you for deliverance for your people, Lord. Thank you that they're eagerly going to seek out your new leadership. Just as the man-child in Revelation 12 goes forth into the wilderness to lead the woman in the way, as the dragon makes war on the woman and seeks to take her down, fails, and goes after the remnant of her seed. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We know that this is a short reprieve, but an important one. And we thank you. Thank you for strengthening Trump and his cabinet. Thank you for giving them uncommon discernment. Lord, a lot of the so-called intelligence of America is not with them, but we proclaim that they will get all the intelligence they need, either through the angels or through men who were in the intelligence or people who have repented. Lord, we know that the minds of Congress and Senate are being perverted by Satanists up there who are practicing witchcraft against their minds. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name that you're going to bring an end to that. We stand upon your word, Father. You said all things whatsoever we pray and ask for, believe we received them, and we shall have them. So, Lord, we're exercising the authority that you gave us to cast down this kingdom of Babylon, this kingdom of Egypt. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do here. Let there be a light to the whole world here, Lord. Thank you that when in Jeremiah 51, they were set free from Babylon, Jerusalem came into their mind. The people are going to Jerusalem when they come out of Babylon. Lord, we thank you for that. They're going to build Jerusalem. They're going to build the temple. They're going to build your kingdom, Father. In the name of Jesus, we stand upon it. Thank you, saints, for joining us today. Don't forget, take time every day. If you're not one of those that prays without ceasing, which you should be, take time every day to pray against the forces of darkness, to execute commands against the forces of darkness, and we're going to see a victory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.